The mid-1850s in the United States were marked by growing tensions that would soon spill over into violence, all surrounding the contentious issue of slavery. The Kansas-Nebraska Act of 1854 was a crucial moment in this escalating conflict. It not only reshaped the political landscape, but also sparked a period of intense and bloody strife known as Bleeding Kansas, a microcosm of the larger national crisis over slavery. The act would contribute directly to the unraveling of the fragile Union, laying the groundwork for the Civil War. 1854 was a landslide. The roots of the Kansas-Nebraska Act can be traced to the broader issue of westward expansion, which had been a defining theme of U.S. politics since the early 19th century. The acquisition of new territories, particularly in the wake of the Mexican-American War, had brought the question of whether to allow slavery into the territories to the forefront. The Compromise of 1850 had attempted to address this issue by allowing new territories to decide the fate of slavery through the principle of popular sovereignty. However, the compromise failed to bring lasting peace, as it merely postponed the conflict and ultimately fueled further divisions. In the early 1850s, Stephen A. Douglas, a prominent Illinois senator, sought to find a solution to the problem of organizing the territories west of the Mississippi River. These territories were important because the development of a transcontinental railroad was seen as vital for the nation's economic growth and unity. The route for the railroad, however, would need to pass through the lands that were part of the Louisiana Purchase. But the territories were not yet organized, and they lay in the uncharted region known as the Kansas-Nebraska Territory. Douglas, a man with both personal and political ambitions tied to the railroad, introduced the Kansas-Nebraska Act, which would organize the territories and open the door for the construction of the railroad. Douglas's proposal, however, was not merely an administrative measure. It carried with it a deeply divisive provision. It called for the repeal of the Missouri Compromise of 1820, which had banned slavery in territories north of the 36-degree 30-foot parallel. In its place, the Kansas-Nebraska Act would allow the residents of the Kansas and Nebraska territories to decide for themselves whether to allow slavery, what was called popular sovereignty. This idea was intended to defuse the debate by letting settlers in each territory vote on the issue. But it had the opposite effect. It reignited the already smoldering tensions between pro-slavery and anti-slavery forces, particularly because Kansas lay within the region previously prohibited to slavery by the Missouri Compromise. Douglas believed that the principle of popular sovereignty would calm the storm by giving people the power to decide for themselves. However, he underestimated the intensity of the passions surrounding slavery. The prospect of a free or slave state in the heart of the American continent turned the Kansas-Nebraska Act into a flashpoint. The act passed in May 1854, but the consequences were far more chaotic than its framers had anticipated. Almost immediately after the law was passed, both pro-slavery and anti-slavery activists flooded into Kansas, hoping to influence the decision on whether the territory would permit slavery. The federal government's hands-off approach to enforcing the law, allowing settlers to determine the outcome through popular sovereignty, meant that Kansas became a battleground where both sides vied for control. The territory became a place where the battle for the future of the nation was being fought long before the Civil War began in earnest. Violence quickly ensued. Pro-slavery settlers, many of whom were from neighboring Missouri, crossed into Kansas to cast fraudulent votes and intimidate anti-slavery settlers. Anti-slavery groups, such as the New England Emigrant Aid Company, sent armed settlers to Kansas to protect their interests and make sure the territory would become a free state. The result was a brutal cycle of retaliation and violence that would come to be known as Bleeding Kansas. Small-scale battles, raids, and skirmishes between these two groups became common, with both sides committing atrocities. One of the most infamous incidents occurred in 1856, when a pro-slavery mob attacked the town of Lawrence, Kansas, and John Brown, an abolitionist, led a retaliatory raid that killed 5 pro-slavery men at Pottawatomie Creek. These acts of violence only increased the tensions between North and South, making it clear that the dispute over slavery could no longer be resolved through peaceful means. The violence in Kansas became emblematic of the larger sectional conflict tearing the nation apart. The Kansas-Nebraska Act had, in effect, torn down the fragile political compromises that had previously held the Union together. The act was one of the key events that fractured the Whig Party, which had struggled to maintain unity in the face of the slavery issue. In its place, a new political force, the Republican Party, emerged in the mid-1850s, composed largely of anti-slavery activists, former Whigs, and free soilers who rejected the idea of expanding slavery into the territories. The Republican Party's formation was a direct result of the Kansas-Nebraska Act, which pushed many Northern politicians to recognize that the issue of slavery could no longer be ignored or sidestepped. The chaos in Kansas also played a key role in shifting public opinion on slavery in the North. While many Northern moderates had previously been ambivalent about the issue, the violence in Kansas and the sight of abolitionists like John Brown fighting to end slavery began to galvanize the anti-slavery movement. The Bleeding Kansas events were seen by many Northerners as proof that slavery was a violent, morally corrupt institution that needed to be eradicated. On the other hand, Southerners saw the violence as a defense of their way of life and an affirmation of their right to spread slavery wherever they could. By the end of 1856, the Kansas-Nebraska Act had failed to bring peace or stability to the nation. Instead, it had accelerated the country's slide toward civil war. The conflict in Kansas would continue throughout the 1850s, with the territory eventually being admitted to the Union as a free state in 1861, just as the country was on the brink of war. The Act's failure to resolve the question of slavery in the territories was a powerful reminder that compromise and popular sovereignty were not enough to address the deep moral, political, and economic divisions that existed between the North and South. The Kansas-Nebraska Act also had an enduring impact on the broader history of the United States. It exposed the deep flaws in the nation's political system, showing that attempts at compromise only pushed the country closer to the brink of war. It demonstrated that slavery was not simply a regional issue, but one that threatened the very fabric of the nation. And it laid the groundwork for the Civil War by turning Kansas into a battleground where the future of slavery in America would be decided. In the end, the Kansas-Nebraska Act was a significant turning point in American history. It was a stark reminder that the question of slavery was not just a political issue, but one that would ultimately be decided by force, through violence, civil war, and the shedding of blood. The Act's failure to resolve the slavery question highlighted the inability of the nation's political leaders to find common ground on one of the most fundamental moral issues of the age, and it set the stage for the brutal conflict that would follow. The events that followed in Kansas were but a prelude to the greater violence and destruction that would soon engulf the entire nation.